Hello and welcome behind the marquee, the podcast where we talk about movies and what's going on in our art house community in downtown Ann Arbor. My name is Nick Aldrink and I'm the programming and media coordinator with the Michigan State Theater. And I am joined virtually by three guests who also work for the Michigan Theater Foundation. Please introduce yourselves.
Hello, I am Sarah Escalante. I'm the Director of Programming and Communications for the Michigan State.
I'm Jared Van Eck. I'm the Technical Director of the Michigan Theater Foundation, and I support programming these days.
And I am Ben Forgey. I'm the Box Office Manager at the theater.
Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. It's been a while since we've had a chat like this, so it's great to talk to you all today as vaccinations are rolling out at a brisk pace and the Michigan State Theater have slowly begun to reopen. We are going to look back at the past year in movies and talk about everything we've learned about virtual programming and what we're looking forward to this summer and the months to come. So as Jared hinted at, everyone is kind of doing a little bit of everything right now. That's why we've got this more than usual. We've always had a motley crew of Michigan Theater employees, but it's even more so now as roles have changed a little bit, changed a lot.
Yeah. And we're also like, we're changing our website platform. The Virtual Movie Palace, like you said, has taken on such a consistent role, and now we're able to offer everything with member benefits, which is also something amazing and new to us, even though we've been doing the Virtual Movie Palace for almost a year now, which is crazy.
Yeah, I was thinking back to what the feeling was like a year ago at this time. You know, I think I've talked a little bit about this before, but like right when it happened, the week that we closed the theater, there was really just... The question wasn't, what are we going to do? It was more like, how are we going to survive doing nothing? Like the option of virtual movies really just, it wasn't an option at all. At least we didn't think so. We had no idea how we're going to show movies again. And then all of a sudden, like, I think Oscilloscope was one of the first distributors that were like, hey, you can rent this movie through us and we're going to do it like this. And then distributors slowly starting to do the same. It was jumping into a deep pool of the unknown when we were first getting started.
We were definitely just grabbing for everything. And then I feel like maybe it was summertime. I can't remember, Nick. It was sometime later where we were like, there's so much out here. We can actually start choosing again, which was really nice.
The problem, I wouldn't call it a problem, but we went from, let's just show everything that's available, and then it became, okay, we have to start being picky, because movies were just coming out of the woodwork. Movies that the distributors just had these ready to go like this. It was pretty incredible.
Yeah. Plus, you didn't have to end them. I think we, with not having so many with member benefits from the beginning, I think we've had some, and Ben would know better too, that have just basically been streaming for 8 months. We just kind of like kept them lingering, which is different too, where you kind of don't have to commit to watching it right away.
Mm-hmm. Ben.
Yeah, there were quite a, go ahead, sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to ask, you're the one that looks at, I think you and Sarah look at these box office reports for virtual streaming the most. Are there like, what are the movies that people seem to still, are there certain titles that people still seem to be grabbing that you're surprised that like movies that have just been sitting on there for a while?
I think it tends to be the more what you would assume of like sort of a blockbuster indie type of a film like Rams or Cowboys to do more than the others. We did well with some of the indies a ways back. There was a hockey documentary on, forgetting the name.
The Fan Connection.
Yes, exactly. Movies like that where it seemed like there was a fan base for Fan Connection. So things like that seem to do well as well.
Music always does really well too.
What is it?
Music. Music docs.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so like, speaking of like the Fan Connection and films like Vinyl Nation, what's been incredible is how many Q&As we've been able to pull off in this virtual landscape of like all of a sudden directors are just suddenly available to talk.
So true.
I hope that part continues. I'm excited for that.
I do too.
I think before we would reach out and try to get people to come to the theater. And then there was kind of always this like nervousness of like Zoom someone like, or I can't even remember. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I'm blanking. Like the early Zooms, but we would be like, oh, we're going to have someone in. That's going to be really hard to do. And now I feel like
they can be anywhere in the world.
We're kind of confident, like, oh, we can throw that up on screen very easily.
I feel like I was saying to Sarah when we were watching the Ann Arbor Film Festival this year, it seemed like people could connect more directly with people all over the world in their films because you're just doing it over a Zoom window right now, where it might be very expensive for the Michigan Theater to fly somebody in from another country, have them, you know, stay at a hotel and pay for all that stuff, you know, but now we can do it virtually pretty easily now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it also gives filmmakers, it's given filmmakers the chance to have the first word on their own work. For example, like filmmakers giving introductions, you know, Sarah and I virtually attended Sundance this year, and every filmmaker was able to give an introduction to their film, which was pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even, I was able to virtually attend South by Southwest very like last minute. And something that they did that I thought was really interesting is they set up Q&As around when it made sense for the people who could be participate versus it being like, you need to, the movie starts at this time. And then this is when the Q&A, it was just, there was like this freedom to it. Like you could watch the movie anytime during this period. And then this is when you can tune in for this Q&A, which I was like, this is nice.
And we kind of did that with the Cocktail Cinema a little bit, right? With Russ's stuff. Like it was like, watch the movie before you come to the Cocktail Cinema. It's more of a conversation about the film. Which those were really fun too.
Yeah. And something that we've talked about, we've had the opportunity to do things that we always discussed, but never had time for, to, you know, like take a few risks. Well, it wasn't really risks for us in the pandemic. It was really kind of our only option, but you know, like Cocktail Cinema, like running like a film club type thing or running trivia, stuff that's been that people seem to really enjoy and stuff that we're excited to, you know, see where it goes as the theaters reopen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I definitely see virtual sticking around. I think we've all figured out how to use it as an extra tool just to kind of add more engagement after you come see a movie together at the theater, which is just is really awesome.
Yeah, I also it makes me think too on like in terms of Ben's world, like how much has changed for all of that, and is it good? Do you see this like the same tools being used when we're open again, Ben? You know, like being virtual and live.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when it started out, as we were talking about the very early days, we were unsure what we were going to get. It just makes sense. Everybody has different computer brands, different phone brands, different casting devices, things like that. So everybody's going to have sort of hiccups on who can watch properly and not. But it's gotten much better. You know, and now we are obviously offering all this stuff with member benefits. So.
And now it's finally easy to like connect it right to your TV, which is awesome.
I have to say has been the first moment where I was able to turn on my TV and just like connect to the theater. That was like one of the most exciting moments of the whole pandemic, of like or at least like in the virtual movie watching experience, of all of a sudden, you know, you connect to Agile, you put in the code, and all of a sudden I get the Michigan Theater pre-show and Jared's library music and the whole vibe of the theater encapsulated my apartment, and I was like, this is perfect, this is so much fun.
We're definitely seeing thanks to Ben. Big shout out to Ben, who has been making sure that all of these movies are built and able for you to purchase and watch. But I think we've definitely seen a lot of more rentals in the Virtual Movie Palace now that we're using Agile and then this new more powerful Agile link setup for all of that. But I think we still need to, it's like we need to make a little commercial or something and show people how easy it is. Like now you can literally download an app on your Roku or your Apple TV or There's a few other ones, I think. Yeah. And then just you enter a code and then it streams the movie right to your TV. You don't have to deal with like signing into something else or like the cables. It's awesome.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's so easy.
Yeah.
And what I think is most exciting about this going into the future when we discuss how virtual and the in-theater experience is going to, how are those two experiences going to coexist with each other? But I think that where I see it going is we essentially now have an eighth screen, or, you know, an eighth, like 8 to 20 more screens, you know, with the 3 at the Michigan right now and the 4 at the state. And then we can just, so often before the pandemic, I would get emails from random distributors or small town filmmakers just asking, you know, can I show your film? And the answer was always no, because we just don't have the space. I would love to show your film. A lot of these local filmmakers have great films. Mm-hmm. It just, we don't have the room to show it. We don't have the space in our schedule. But now I can more or less just say yes to everybody. Like, it's giving small filmmakers so many more chances for their work to be shown, which I think is incredibly exciting.
Including myself.
Including yourself.
Well, it's like too what we're doing with Nomadland and Songs My Brother Taught Me. Like, I love that we're able to say, you can come to the theater and see this film that everyone is talking about and is definitely going to win some arrangement of Oscars. And then you can go and watch the director's early film in our virtual movie palace. Like, I think being able to do stuff like that is going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
I want to bring Jared's film back up. You did that about a year ago now?
I think I filmed it on April 15th.
Okay.
Yeah. And it is now streaming for free in our virtual movie palace.
If I recall.
It's a celebration of spring.
Yeah.
Although hopefully it doesn't snow again.
On our eighth screen.
Yes. on our eighth screen.
I love that. We should start promoting it that way. I know.
As soon as Nick said that, I was like, that's genius.
Yeah, it's given us to be creative in a way that we've never been able to do before. Whether, Jared's film or the creature feature and things like that. It's given us a little curatorial advantage.
It's a little bit more freedom, more breathing room.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is nice.
Mm-hmm. And then as we've seen, you know, there's the greater question of what will it look like, you know, with like Godzilla versus Kong opened, what was it, last week or something like that? It opened in theaters and virtually on HBO Max, I think. And sure, it didn't make as much in the theater as it would have normally, but it still made something like $50 million in box office sales alone.
Did more than what was expected.
More than Tenet? Even.
Yeah.
I think so.
Tenet's a crazy awesome movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are excited. I mean, people are excited to get back to that normal routine of going to the movies. So that's exciting. I think, unfortunately, we still have to wait just a little bit, but I think it's coming.
You're already seeing it out in the streets. I mean, you drive through town and you see people wanting to be in restaurants and socializing. And when they blocked off the streets in Ann Arbor, it's just like, I feel like people are like really excited about getting back out of their houses.
We were just talking about this earlier today with the rentals. Like, we've also, before this, we rented the theater a lot, but we rented it to bigger groups versus private individuals.
Yeah.
And I think that we've been had such a success with privately renting the theater to families coming to watch movies or for birthday parties. And I think that that is also something that we kind of probably would have just said no to in the past. Like, no, we can do this. We're busy with this other stuff. And just doing it, I think, has been great and given people ways to really still connect with the theater right now.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited about seeing some gaming experiences in the theater. I've told you guys about it, but just to explain it to your podcast, we did some testing in the theater the other day with a Nintendo Switch and a PS4, and you basically were immersed in like a 7.1 surround sound experience in a theater, and it was amazing. I like playing Mario Kart on the Switch was incredible. You know, so I'm just excited for people to be able to experience that in our theaters, because they're amazing theaters. The state theaters are totally advanced spaces, you know, in terms of theater technology. So it's exciting.
And like we were saying before, that's something that we talked a lot about. I said, especially you, Jared, you talked a lot about like, we should do this. You know, rent the theater out to play video games. And it was always like, yeah, that's a great idea. It never happened, but now, of course, that was it's awesome, and I'm so glad that we were able to make it happen now.
It's raining at our house here, guys. Sorry about the background noise.
No, I'm sure it's coming through on my mic as well.
I was going to say the same thing. Yeah, it's mutual.
What I'm most looking forward to now, especially. This podcast is going to drop on Monday, the 12th. So by the time you're hearing this, this will somewhat be in the past. But we're playing Lord of the Rings in the theaters right now. The Fellowship on the 11th, the Two Towers on the 18th, and the Return of the King on the 25th. But that's the first step of something I'm really excited to do, is reintroduce people to the big theater experience in a big way. That's what I'm most looking forward to about this summer, as just watching our favorite movies on the big screen again, and just being comfortable sitting in the theater and just enjoying the magic of film again with an audience.
Yeah.
The main theater has $500,000 worth of technology in it. In terms of seeing a 7.1 surround sound 4K version of Lord of the Rings, I'm sorry, you can't see that at your house. Yeah. You won't be able to experience that. And I am hearing that we're already selling lots and lots of tickets, and we've barely advertised for this already. So I think we have enough Lord of the Rings nerds this Washtenaw County.
I mean, we have this very unique theater space that is so gigantic compared to what you're used to with going to movie theaters, that I hope that will really help some folks get comfortable in still being in a space and not right next to each other like we're used to. You know, like you're used to going to the movies and you're like searching out for that last spot and dripping popcorn all over the place, and like we will get there eventually, but it's nice. I think the main has this nice, you can still have this great experience watching a movie and with a sound and still be separated from folks, so you'll have that comfort. So I hope people do take this opportunity to come in, and I think these movies are perfect. They're like people love these movies. You want to see them in this type of setup, so that's, I'm excited too.
I was gonna say on that, and on the rental thing, last year when we offered rentals, and we also offered in October repertory films as well, I don't think they did as good. And now it's like, for rentals at least, like there's three rentals a week now of people being like, I want to be in the theater with my family or my spouse or whatever, watching a movie. And I'm willing to pay that, you know, cost to do that and have that experience because it's unique and special. And I think that it just shows you that this Lord of the Rings thing is like getting some buzz already, and it's barely been advertised out from it's really
well, the
cool.
Big push went out today. So
yeah.
But I think like what you were talking about earlier, Nick, with just Q&As now, it's like we're seeing a lot of these type of films come out, and some of the films are opening up in a few weeks that will have Q&As attached to them. And I think part of that too is folks are realizing, oh, people really do want to watch these conversations, even if the people aren't right there on screen or like, you know, in person, but they're on screen. So I think that's exciting. I feel like Lord of the Rings fans are going to also be really interested in hearing from the cast.
And Stephen Colbert.
I'm sure some new information will come out.
Yeah. A lot of people, I mean, the true Lord of the Rings fans know that Stephen Colbert was in the film, but not a lot of people did know that. You know, I think I learned that from Nick's trivia even.
It certainly feels like this summer is going to be a very, well, there's just so much coming out this summer already, but it's going to be a serious summer of nostalgia, I think, of just learning to reappreciate the things that we lost. just the act of going out, period. But like going to the movies and seeing your favorite films on the big screen again and just...
Yeah. Or even, I mean, like, I'm going to excited to see this new Top Gun movie.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, me
that
too.
That brings back lots of childhood or young... I can't remember. I do remember I did watch it right when it came out. I was in second grade. I was young to the point where the afternoon aide came. We would have a movie every Friday and they put on Top Gun because it was some young teenage college kid too. And then I remember all the parents were like, there was uproar. Like, how could you show these second graders Top Gun? But I remember we were like, this is so cool.
Was it Goose? Moose? I can't remember.
Goose.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I'm super excited for that.
Yeah, I'm excited. You know, we're talking about film series again. I don't want to get too deep into like film series ideas, but because I don't want to make promises that won't come true. But I've got lots of ideas. You know, we're playing Lord of the Rings right now. I just can't like I'm just gonna keep reiterating this point. Like, I just want to show everyone my favorite movies again on the big screen. I want to put like some old Spielberg blockbusters on the big screen. I want to put, you know, classic Hollywood stuff back on the big screen. Those groovy 60s films back on the big screen. I want to talk about the music of Quincy Jones. I just want to do it all. But we do
this is the time.
Yeah.
We kind of got to wipe the slate a little bit from like being packed with just movies coming out that we just like, we definitely are playing this. So with limited a little bit of our own creativity we got to do. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think it's going to be good. It's like a new little renaissance for us.
Yeah. Ben, what do you want to see back on the big screen? What are you excited about?
Oh, wow. I was going to mention something for the films I might have been watching recently, something that I could recommend to people, but it was more so my nostalgia for renting films, or heck, even going to like the library to rent films. Mm-hmm. And so I've been watching like a lot of 80s and 90s, 70s even films lately, some that I've seen, some that I haven't. They could be really bad or really good. But the one thing about them that I love is they always seem to work really well, you know, when on a big screen. You can just tell, you know, this would just be a million times better. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to all the repertory of things you'll be offering. Mm-hmm. And don't forget Dazed and Confused on April 20th.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. That one we're also offering with a post-film cast reunion. I believe it's going to be Matthew McConaughey, Richard Linklater, Parker Posey, and moderated by Jack Black, which I think would be a very funny choice.
That's going to be good.
All right. There you go. That's it. That's my impression for the podcast.
But we're also going to see so many new, like, Hollywood is just going to go nuts the rest of the year, just pushing out all their stuff that got postponed, you know, because we got like things that we might play again. I don't want to make any promises. I'm going to like A Quiet Place Part 2 is finally getting released on May 28th, which I think was set to be released the week that we closed. I could be slightly off.
I know
by
it was
timeline, but
it was scheduled.
Yeah.
I do remember. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then In the Heights on June 11th, which a lot of people are getting excited about. Top Gun Maverick on July 2nd. I'm equally excited about that one. You know, Black Widow on July 9th. I believe that's going to be another interesting experiment. That one's also being posted to Disney Plus, so that same week. And then The Green Knight is scheduled right now for July 30th. And that's one that you saw at Sundance, right, Sarah? Or you've seen before previously?
Yeah. And we were trying to get it for Cinetopia.
What's it about?
Dev Patel?
Yeah, the one with Dev Patel.
Movie? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, it's an A24 movie. Hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've then been holding that for a while. It's crazy to see some of these titles come up again, and you're like, wait, mm-hmm. I saw that, when did I? And you're like, oh my gosh, that was like 2019, early 2020.
Who's doing Candyman?
Candyman.
August 27th.
I know Jordan Peele produced it, I believe.
Oh man.
It was set, that was another one that was set for 2020. The director is Nia DaCosta.
I loved that movie when it came out.
Jordan Peele wrote the screenplay and he's produced it.
So it's like a rewrite of the original,
mm-hmm.
is it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that man, that's mm-hmm. I will. I'm definitely gonna watch that.
That is a wicked movie, and
I love Candyman. That's a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I love horror films.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what they do with it. Like the original movie is still very good. Some parts of it don't hold up necessarily quite that well, but you know, seeing what they that one deserves a relook. I'm excited to see what they do with that new one. So anyways, we got a lot to be excited about. Keep a lookout. MichiganTheater.org, our new website. We can now spell Michigan properly. And it works.
Oh, no. We're going to use Mich Theater.
Don't
spread that around.
Don't spread that around, Nick.
We're going to we'll cut that out. We'll cut this out.
But you will. But to the point, we are... transferring is the wrong word. We have a new website design we're rolling out slowly. So folks will start seeing that the pages look a little bit more clean, modern, and they load a lot faster.
I think that this time, and we've talked about this before, has allowed us to make lots of improvements within the organization. Mm-hmm. You know, just our processes and things like that, including things like the website. And you know, yeah.
I mean, I keep trying to look for you can't even say the positives anymore. I keep trying to look for the good that is coming out of last year and kind of everything going on a pause. And I think it finally let a lot of folks, and I think a lot of businesses too, that were fortunate to keep just kind of like trucking along during all of it, to just kind of take a moment and reflect on areas that they wanted to do some spring cleaning on, I guess I would say. That just, it's so hard in the hustle and bustle of how it was before. It was just, you know, like, it was, especially in this industry, it was just like, every day was just, had so much going on to get ready for the next day. And it was just, it makes it hard sometimes to look in areas and see like, hey, I think we should change this in some way. How do we do it? And we got to kind of do that this last year and into this year, so that has been nice. I think in the future we'll look back and that will be something we can be like, yeah, that was good then. To kind of weigh out how just hard the last year and a half has been.
I don't think that can be said any better. I think that that's a great way to put it. So like I said, this conversation that we had today really is just, We covered a lot. There's a lot of scope to fill in this conversation, and there's so much coming up to be excited about. So, MichiganTheater.org is our website right now. You can still find us at MitchTheater.org. So, one of those sites, MitchTheater.org.
Yeah, we've set it up so you can still go to MitchTheater.org. Use the what you're used to going to, and we have things kind of redirecting right now until we're able to kind of blend them back into one.
Mm-hmm. So just subscribe to our emails just to stay up to date with everything coming, because we're gonna have a lot of stuff coming at you very quickly to be excited about. Before we wrap up this conversation, we're going to get to our movie magic moments of the week. It's been a while since we've done this. In case you are new to the podcast, this is the how we end every episode, by talking to you about something that we've seen recently, movies or television, that as we say, reminded us why we love movies and television and this business. It's just a moment for us to recommend something to you to check out once this episode is over. Who'd like to start? Sarah, Jared, do you want to talk about something that you've seen recently?
Sure, I'll start. So at Sundance, it's weird how everything keeps blurring together. At Sundance this year, actually, one cool thing about that was that Jared and I got to. So Jared is my fiance. So we're our own little pod during all this, but because Sundance was virtual, I got to kind of watch things with Jared, which was really cool. He kind of got to be in the Sundance experience, which he mm-hmm. hasn't been to before. So that was really cool. But we watched Street Gang, How We Got to Sesame Street, which is a new documentary about Sesame Street and just the folks behind the show and kind of how the work and the everything they did to make it into just the great television program that has just shaped so many of us for so long. So we saw that. It was really awesome. It was really, really just one of those films that just makes you remember back to things and just smile a lot. Because I think you forget sometimes how, especially if you watch Sesame Street growing up, but I think even if you didn't, just because it's so involved in so many other cultural things, just like how much of that you know already. And you saw so many behind the scenes shots, especially of how they were operating the Muppets. It was so cool. And we are fortunate to be opening that at the end of the month at the theater. So mm-hmm. folks will be able to see that really soon.
It was amazing.
I'm excited to see it on the big screen. We have a decent sized television, but it is, like you were mentioning, Nick, it's really cool to see films on a big screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't wait to check that one out. Jared, do you have one for as well?
Man, I mean, definitely seeing a lot of really cool films, being thankfully a bystander here at the house, getting to watch Sundance, the Ann Arbor Film Festival, mm-hmm. South by Southwest, so many amazing films. The Sundance Film Festival, the Questlove film that opened the Sundance so film. Oh man, yeah. That was mind blowing. Mm-hmm. Like I, and he won so many awards for it at the Sundance Festival, and people, like, be prepared that when that comes out, I'm really crossing our fingers that is going to be something that we get to play at our theaters, because mm-hmm. it is amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Summer of Soul. There we go.
Yeah, that's it.
Summer of Soul. But I will also say the Suspiria film that just came out on Netflix.
Yeah, on Netflix.
Which, since it's on Netflix, does that mean we can also play it in the theaters? Because I thought that was, it changed me. Sarah, I think, too, as well, watching it. And I highly recommend it. It's really hard to watch if you say, like, if you're from, like, a coastal community where you depend on fish and seafood and things like that. It might be hard for you to watch this film because they really lay it out for you, and it's really, really sad. A lot of the stuff that you don't get to hear about, and one of the quotes from the film is like, you hear about blood diamonds, but do you know about blood shrimp? So it's really, really, really tough film to watch.
We've been spending a lot of time, probably because we're able to be slow down a little bit and more reflective of just like things that really matter in our society and just like where we're going. And I feel like this is definitely perfect timing for this film. It's definitely one of those that it's hard to watch because it makes you realize if you really do, like, you really need to kind of pay attention to just the actions that come from some of our daily living. So yeah, it is hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard, but I do recommend it as well to anyone to watch it.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to check that one out this weekend. I haven't seen it, but I've heard very similar sentiments about it. So I can't say I'm excited to watch it, but
we pretty much have. I love tuna fish sandwiches, and we pretty much have walked away being like, okay, we will eat what we have, but mm-hmm. we're gonna pause on that until there's much better.
You probably could do evidence. You could easily do a whole podcast just about that film.
Yeah.
Oh, really? There's so much. There really is. There's so much there that to talk about, and you could go down a rabbit hole right now. But yeah,
Ben,
watch it.
Ben, have a more uplifting film. No,
I don't know how to follow that.
I know.
Sorry, Ben.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take it in a different direction. TV. I've always been a huge fan of crime drama. whether fiction or not fiction, you know, drama, narrative, whatever. But I am really, really psyched to see that Christopher Maloney, who plays Elliot Stabler, the Law and Order universe, is back on the show.
Wow.
And another of his own shows, I should say, not just that. But yeah. So Law and Order, Organized Crime is his own. And check it out.
Oh, okay. I've heard, I saw headlines about that, but I didn't really investigate. I'm glad I have you here, Ben, to explain to me what's happening there.
I would love to go back into that universe. Oh, yeah,
so much.
So much fun.
We've watched so much TV. Like what is it? I guess it's like 90s television. Like, I mean, when you first started doing the podcast, I think we were, it was like our Friday Facebook Lives. Sarah and I were like super into like 90210.
Yeah. I think the last time we recorded a podcast, you both talked about 90210, I'm pretty sure.
We moved away from that. Yeah. Thankfully.
But I have another TV recommendation. My movie Magic Moment. I mean, I've been really impressed with the documentary series being released by HBO recently, like Alan versus Pharaoh, for instance, which is incredibly powerful and eye-opening, and I can't recommend it. I can't recommend it enough. But more recently, before that, or since that came out, they've released another series called Q Into the Storm. Maybe I'm not looking in the right places, but I don't think the series is getting nearly as much attention as it should. It's a 6-part series that follows this filmmaker, Cullen Hoback, as he investigates the history behind the QAnon movement in his in his attempt to unmask the shadowy internet figure who's simply just known as Q on these internet boards. He posted for years on the site called 8chan, and he led people to believe he was this official deep inside the Trump administration. And, you know, he provoked a series of conspiracy theories like Pizzagate. That was the 2016 conspiracy that there were pedophile rings run by the Democratic Party underneath Comet Pizza in Washington, D.C. was just an extremely absurd sentence to state. Yeah. But this whole movement was led to some really dark and disturbing ideas in the, you know, like the Capitol riots were severely inspired by this whole QAnon movement. But this filmmaker, he spent 3 years investigating 8chan and the people behind it, like the original creator, his name is Frederick Brennan. And he gave it up to this father-son duo called Jim and Ron Watkins. And they created this very disturbing rivalry between the two parties. So it takes a lot of twists and turns. It's really thrilling. It's really informative. And it's a peek inside this internet bubble that you really only hear about in the news. But it's just an incredible piece of storytelling is what I love most about it. Like the director, Cullen, he goes down like rabbit hole after rabbit hole searching for the identity of Q, and he kind of follows you. He takes you down each of those rabbit holes so specifically, and it gets a bit twisty, and it gets a bit disjointed, and it becomes intentionally deceiving at points because he wants you to feel, you know, like episode 3 or whatever it was, where he thinks that the Q might be Steve Bannon. So he, like, that entire episode is dedicated to really to like how Q could be Steve Bannon. And then by the end, you're like, okay, it's probably not Steve Bannon. Now let's go on to the next episode. So like I said, like parts of it can be a bit deceiving, but he takes you down this journey, this 3-year journey with him down every little nook and cranny of the dark side of the internet. And it's just, like I said, it's an incredible watch. It's fascinating stuff. And in the end, with a good amount of certainty, he basically tells you who, like, he there's no definitive proof, but he's pretty sure at the end who Q actually is. I won't spoil who it ends up being. It's kind of a detective series in that way. So I suggest you watch. It's on HBO or HBO Max, Q Into the Storm.
I applaud you for finishing. I got past episode 2. I have not yet watched episode 3. And I don't use this term very often, but I found the characters very cringeworthy.
Oh, definitely.
And that's the point. Yeah. I know that's the point. That's what makes it such a great documentary, and it's entertaining. But I applaud that you're able to finish it like that, because there's something like churning in my stomach when I watch that show.
Definitely. No, I should. Yeah. All the characters in this film are deeply disturbing people. But like I said, it's, you kind of have, I forced myself through it because I've, you know, today we all in a world where we all exist in our own bubbles. You kind of have to force yourself to look at like, okay, because like when the Capitol riots happened, it was kind of confusing. You're like, what happened here? Like who are they talking to that made them do this? Like, and then you kind of like this documentary series basically describes how those events were premeditated like 3 years ago. It's very shocking.
We're adding that to our list.
Yeah.
Those are our movie magic moments. It's about time to wrap this up. Thank you to Sarah, Jared, and Ben for joining me here on the podcast once again.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm excited to kick these off.
I'm going to be working on getting these out on a weekly basis once again. So be sure to subscribe to the podcast to stay automatically updated on those. Next Monday, I am not going to describe it too much in detail. I'm recording a podcast. I'm recording an interview next Monday, or today if you're listening to this on Monday. I'm going to be sitting down with a very special guest, someone who I'm a big fan of, a Michigan-born actor, you likely know, but I'll keep his identity secret until that episode is actually recorded and in the bag. So hopefully I'll have that for you next week. So
Iggy Pop, right? There's Iggy Pop.
So be on the lookout for that. Be sure to follow the Michigan and State Theater on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for updates about future Q&As and live podcast recordings like we've been having in the past few months. You can find us at Michigan Theater and at State Theater A2. Thank you to Matt G. and the Ann Arbor District Library for making sure these episodes drop on a timely basis. Like I said, be on the lookout for another episode next Monday. You'll hear from me very soon. Thank you for listening, and thank you for joining us behind the marquee.